Hey ladies, this is Morgan and Erica here. This is the first official episode of the Empower Her podcast. The pilot went so well. We actually are just so blessed and amazed that so many of you actually downloaded it. I was actually just saying the fact that one person wanted to listen was amazing to me. Yes. But we thought we're going to go ahead and tackle a kind of a, I won't say important, but kind of a deep topic in a way. Because we're going to be all over the place. It might be deep. It might be funny. It might be educational, entertaining, uplifting. We don't know. But today, this came from a conversation we actually had in the office in the doorway. And why in the doorway, I don't know. But kind of like the water cooler, but it's not. But it's going to be contentment versus complacency. And we're going to actually follow that up with comparison in the next episode, which could be like a 10-part series for us ladies especially. But
for sure.
One thing we talked about is I think that sometimes we can confuse contentment with complacency. And I think your season in life, your personality type, a lot of things could come into place. But we're going to look at it three ways. What the world says about it, what the Bible says about it, and what we may have told ourselves or lies or things we've thought about it that may be hurting our self-worth, self-confidence, and just inner peace. So I'm going to tell y'all what the world, what Google, you know, the world says about contentment, and then I'm going to let Erica take it. But Google, aka the world's definition, says that contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction. So, you know, happiness is a fleeting feeling. Erica, tell me a little bit about your view on that.
So, to me, contentment is an inner knowing. That, in my opinion, is, it's an inner knowing and it's not driven by a circumstance or a thing. Happiness, to me, is more of a, oh, somebody sent me flowers, I'm happy, but that happiness is fleeting and it can change from day to day with situation to situation. When contentment, to me, is more like a joyful satisfaction. When I was, after we had talked through this and I was looking some things up, the more I processed and thought about it, in my mind, contentment is a more of a heavenly perspective on things. How Paul talks about learning to be content in all circumstances in Philippians 4. And I think contentment for me is just a inner still knowing that regardless of whatever's going on in my life, the joy I have in Christ is still there. Where happiness, my happiness is given to me and taken from me from anything. And when I'm focused on the world, it comes a lot more into play of, you know, am I happy? Am I not happy? I think you see that a lot in marriages. You know, I'm not happy. I'm happy. Or when you're in school or in a career, I think those things are just so natural when, especially when you're focused on the worldly side of it. And so with the contentment, I just feel like it's an attitude or a perspective that rests in kingdom perspective more so than just your everyday worldly life. What about you?
So would you agree that a lot of times I think that we can think contentment will come when we hit certain milestones, certain
100%
things, and then we pray for things that maybe then come to fruition and then we're still not content?
No, absolutely. I feel like honestly, I mean, and I would, if I'm just, you know, I'm transparent, I feel like it's contentment's almost something I've chased my whole life. And I think it's through, I mean, in the very recent, and I mean, and that's still, I go through seasons where I don't feel so contented. But I feel like it's something that we've always chased. I know I have. And it's just the knowing that Christ is the only thing that's going to be able to do that for me. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're in school and, you know, okay, I'm going to go to college. And when I get to college, I'm going to be content. I'm going to be happy. Then when I get out of college, I'm going to find this job and I'm going to be happy. And then I'm going to get married and that's going to make me happy. And I'm going to have kids and that's going to make me happy. And then I'm going to be this awesome career woman and this great mom. And that's going to make me happy.
That's a whole nother, episode.
For real. And the truth of the matter is those things, I'm just now learning at 51 that there's not a thing or a circumstance that can bring me contentment. I think contentment, again, I don't know, I'm being repetitive, is in the Lord and then a joyful peace with yourself.
Mm. There you go. And, you know, I saw some things that when we were looking at this that, you know, that contentment, we can learn contentment, ladies. I think it's a lifelong process, like for you sure. said, sanctification. But by nature, we're discontented when we're born. Mm-hmm. We're selfish. And I wrote these three words down because to me, the world sells contentment through stuff, status, success, materialism, more. When, just going to read you, if y'all have ever looked at well-watered women, it's something I saw online, but she said that just as sunshine is warm and brings life, but can also cause a sunburn and drought, having plenty is no solution for discontentment. So we can still have all the things, open the business, have kids, do all these things that we think are going to make us happy, and they do, but it can still bring a inner feeling of discontentment. Here's some things I thought. We've looked at it worldly, biblically, which, again, these can all be, you know, biblically, you know, what the Bible says about contentment. But the difference between contentment and complacency, it says, is a subtle one.
Very subtle. The fine line. It's a very, very fine line. And you know what, Morgan? Until we actually started researching this, I feel like the complacency, I was defining it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like when I looked up the Google definition, I have a negative association with the word complacent. And I think in some situations it can be, but when I was reading, I don't necessarily think that the word complacent in itself has a negative connotation to it by the definition that we found, which was, do you have that somewhere?
Yes, comfort and mediocrity in the status quo is overconfidence or self-satisfaction, which we might could even say is prideful.
Yeah.
If we want to go down that route. In some ways, it can lead to that, I think.
Well, that's what I wrote, ease with the status quo.
Or some smugness that comes from success and makes us unaware of potential dangers or threats. I think you can get comfortable. Maybe comfort causes complacency.
I agree.
So before we jump off into the whole complacency.
Sorry.
No, I did.
I did that.
It is a subtle one. I was reading what we wrote down.
Yeah.
But here's some things I thought about that I think I need to ask myself if I'm going to be, when we talk about contentment and complacency, you know, did I try my best?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be content in that? Did I give it my all? And this is one that I think I have struggled with. Are my standards for myself unattainable?
Oh, goodness. We have a whole episode we can do on that.
So I think we set ourselves, I mean, I say things to myself in my head I would never, ever say to anybody else.
And you wouldn't think it about anybody else.
But
I agree.
I think when we can't seem to find contentment and we keep striving for the things that the world says will make us, the striving wears you out. You're never going to reach it because it's not meant. Those things aren't meant to satisfy.
And even if you do reach it, the contentment can't be there because you've worn yourself out. It's almost like a double-edged sword. I mean, I remember the conversation when I came in here now. Here's what it was. I told you I'd had a conversation with my boss, and I had been comparing myself to other people in my field, which is not something I've typically ever done. I just keep my head down and I work. And remember, I came to you and I said, I realized today I don't have to be the best. I need to be my best. And that I felt like I had been complacent because I'm not striving to be the be-all, end-all in my career. But I don't want to be the be-all, end-all. I mean, that's not my goal. And I think that where I have identified complacency means me not grinding it and just burning the candle at both ends. In reality, I think that maybe as I've aged or as I've gone through my career, the things I want, it's more of who do I want to be than what do I want to attain? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And I think if we're really, truly, if we were content, we'd be more rested.
Yeah.
We'd be happier. We'd be more at peace.
We'd be kinder. We'd be more kind. More
kind,
kinder.
We'd be burned out. That's a word.
Yeah.
And I, you know, going back to complacency, you know, I've always thought it meant that there's a laziness there.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think when we were talking about it, I thought, you know, I can be thinking that contentment means that I'm being lazy or complacent, but some of the definitions I found are not, you know, they weren't really referencing lazy. It was overconfident,
mm-hmm.
a comfortable thing. I have in my mind, like, this picture of this king sitting in this big chair and uh-huh. turkey leg.
Being complacent.
Being complacent, because some of the things it can lead to, I think, are pride, aversion to change, mm-hmm. more consumption, which, like, gluttony, yes, materialism, yes. so much stuff, because I think my granny used to say, you're resting on your laurels. Have y'all ever heard that?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I just think about somebody that's made it, they've done it, yeah. they've worked hard, now they're like, well, life is good.
Well, and I wrote this down, and I think this statement is too, quote, profound for me to have thought it. I think I probably read it and wrote it down, but I don't have it in quotes. But it says, complacency is dangerous because once a certain success has been achieved, effort ceases.
Yes.
And it's like, I no longer need to put the effort in. And that is, I guess, honestly, complacency to me, that's always been that I no longer need to put the effort in. Like when I decided to move careers, I loved where I worked. It was an amazing place. But I had gotten to the point where out of I get comfort, I was no longer challenging myself to grow. And I didn't want the status quo for my life. I mean, it was kind of like that. Certainly, there's more to me and there's more for me to learn and to grow than just coming here every day and doing this. There's got to be more to it than that. And I feel like me personally, I mean, I'm not going to be satisfied with the status quo. I'm a lifelong learner. I want to grow and I want to learn, and I don't want to quit doing that until the day I meet Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? So I think when I boiled all this down, when we were talking about it, I think I put pressure on myself to not be complacent. And I don't want to be complacent, but like you said, that line is so thin. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you just have to go, okay, you know what? I've done enough.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rest in this and be peaceful with it, and I'm going to be content with the fact that X, Y, Z.
Well, and I think, you know, talking about the Bible says about complacency, there's lots of places in Proverbs where it's talking about, it does reference laziness, but mm-hmm. just not being idle.
Yep.
I found this quote online too, that success can breed complacency. Complacency breeds failure. Only the paranoid survive. I thought that was funny.
That is so us.
But I read that and I thought, well
we'll survive.
And they said the tragedy of life is not in our own failure, but rather in our own complacency, not doing too much, but not in our doing too little. And not in living above our ability, but rather in living below our capacity.
So let's talk about that, because I think a lot of times, and this is what you and I had talked about at the gym, I will be complacent for fear of failure or a fear of something, or maybe not complacent, but I will be stagnant and yes. not take steps forward out of fear of rejection or fear of failure or just not measuring up. Like, okay, well, I want to run a 10K, and I'm just making this up because I don't want to run a 10K.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, like, I know what that would do to my body to even consider running a 10K, so I'm not even going to go there because I'm afraid of failing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
But you wouldn't. You'd do it.
Well, I don't know about that. But I just think, I mean, how often do we become complacent or satisfied with the status quo, not because we're really satisfied, but we're fearful of what's on the other side?
Well, that's true. I think there's some things that might trigger you seeing that you're complacent. You're scared to try.
Yeah, yeah.
Scared to fail.
Mm.
You don't want to change.
Yeah.
Comfortable. A complacent person is pleased with themselves. And I don't mean like, the work is good, you're right. sat back, you know you've done all you can. I think, again, if we're all honest, I'm not pleased with myself most days, any days for that matter. And so you're always wanting to be better, hopefully. And, you know, if you're a believer, then God's making you, he's not finished with you.
That's
He'll
right.
He'll carry the work
yes,
out of completion.
Yes.
The completion, like it says in Ephesians. So we can rest in that too, that he doesn't want us complacent.
No,
either.
No, he
and
doesn't.
And he's not going to leave you that way.
But I think a lot of times, I will beat myself up over, like, think about this. How many times, and I know you and I have had these conversations where I'm beating myself up because I did something or I didn't do something. And all God is wanting to give us grace and mercy, and we won't even give it to ourselves. Like, how, and that's one thing one of my goals this year has been to learn how to receive his love and his mercy. Because if I can't receive it from him, how can I receive it from anybody else? And how can I receive it? I mean, how can I give it to myself? You know, we are so hard and so critical and so, it's honestly terrible to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I imagine all the women listening to this would probably feel the same way when we were never created to be that way, and he didn't create us to be that way. By all means, he wants us in obedience, living for him, but there's grace when we fail and we can't give it to ourselves.
Mm-mm. You'll obsess about it.
Yeah.
And if I think I've said something, which happens quite often,
that
sounds off color, I'm like, how did that come across?
I did it yesterday in a group text. You know, you'd think by now we would know this. And after I said what I said, I was like, repent, repent, repent. Y'all, I'm sorry. There was no need for me to even have these thoughts or even say them out loud because they don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's funny. But I was talking to a friend the other day, which we may have talked about this, or this may be something we were saving for the next episode, but now I'm just opening the can of worms, is one of the reasons that contentment is so hard is because of comparison. And I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, beautiful, beautiful woman, who's just not feeling at her best. She's not confident about herself right now in her own body, just in where she is in life. And she mentioned, you know, like, I don't even like going out of the house now because all I find myself doing is comparing myself to others. And I was like, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. And after we had that conversation, I was like, how do we stop that? Because, and again, this comes back to us and ourselves. I look at her and it breaks my heart. And I think, oh my gosh, you're the most amazing woman in the world. How could you even say you don't want to walk out of the house because you're comparing people to others? But I do it too,
mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know.
We compare ourselves. That's going to be episode 2, ladies. But I guess going back, where are some areas, you know, in our life maybe we've been complacent, that we thought we were going to be content and then we weren't, and why? Again, these are just some of our thoughts. We don't know yet how we can get your feedback yet. We're working.
We're trying to figure that out.
We're trying to figure this out as we go. Podcasting 101, but
yes, we need that for sure.
We just want to encourage you that trying to be content in all circumstances by looking to the Lord, being thankful
yes.
and grateful for what you have. And again, I'm not good at this at all. Some of this stuff was researching it was like, wow, I've had this kind of wrong for a while, but
I think too, just especially with it being Holy Week, just really looking at the cross and what Christ did for us. I mean, he died because he wants to be in relationship with every one of us. And if he loves us that much, God, it just also makes me cry, you know, here we go, cry girl. But I mean, if he loves us that much, it has to hurt or make him sad. But I think, you know, a righteous anger almost that we're his creation and we can't love ourselves. I don't know. I know I'm going on a tangent, but the contentment part of it, I just think he gave everything to be in relationship with us and he created us for him. So if anything, I feel like as women, if we can't grab contentment for any other reason that, oh my gosh, God created me for him, to glorify him, to bring him glory through my life. Let's try to find contentment with that, you know?
I picture it's, I guess, kind of if you were like a parent and, I mean, you just gave your kids the most, I mean, this is so not even the same thing, but.
But it is.
You just gave your kids the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
And they, I'm not saying you're on acceptance, that's a whole nother topic, but it's like you can't see the beauty in it. We're so ungrateful sometimes when, I guess now being a parent, I'm like, maybe God looks at me like, really, Morgan? Like,
no, absolutely.
Like, yeah. I've given you, you prayed for, I've given you X, Y, Z. All you really deserve is death. And I've done that.
No, he does not look at you
like
that.
I mean, like, you know what I mean?
No, I do. But, I do.
And it's like, and you still aren't happy. You still want more. You still want. Like, I don't know. I guess being parenting now has shown me a lot more of his patience with me.
Oh, for sure.
And love. But ladies, we love to know what you think.
We don't know how to figure out what you think.
We may just be sharing it on social media and asking you to chime in.
So if anybody out there, I know we have some friends that are already podcasters. If you know how to tell us to turn on comments or anything. I mean, like, we did really good just to get it recorded and actually uploaded. Like, that was a major win last week.
It was major.
But we would love to know what you think. I mean, and I was thinking this, which this may be something I need to turn off and just whatever, but we need to set up an email or something just to figure out, like, if somebody does want to email in or ask for topics, or if we have resources that we want to share, like you were talking about the well-watered woman, then we need to be able to put that stuff out there. So we'll work on that too.
Oh, we just got some ideas.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, we hope you have a great Easter.
Yes. We love you.
Go worship the Lord.
Yes.
We will, next episode will be on comparison. We may even have a guest. Don't know who yet. Maybe one of you. But we hope you have a great day.
Love y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.